Blog Talk Radio.
Consciousness Shift. I'm Gwendolyn Berry. I'm your host today. Nicole's on vacation, I guess. And our guest today is Amethyst Rain Hatiyama. She is an author who will be with us in just 1 minute. Before I do any of the shows on the Here Be Monsters Network, there's one little disclaimer, you might call it, that I do before we go on into the show. And it's very socio-political because what I do is I sincerely apologize to the people of the Middle East and other countries where our drone bombs are responsible for the death tally of many innocents. Now, this is not a support in any way of the atrocities being committed by terrible individuals using whatever religious aspect they feel good about. This is about saying Americans, a lot of Americans in this country, and I am one of them, does not support this administration or the military-industrial complex profiteering off of drone bombing in other parts of the world. That said, we can launch into, we've been having a conversation about ecofeminism and actually our part and getting back to nature, which is really very important. We just had this absolutely wonderful march, the People's Climate March in New York City. Our co-host Nicole was part of that. over 400,000 people actually showed up at the end of the day. Incredible numbers. One of the things that anyone in the spiritual, metaphysical, neo-pagan, pagan, ceremonial, yoga, Ayurveda, the whole community, one thing that everybody can agree on, well, we agree about most things, but we're all working very hard to bring an awareness up about us being an element of nature and how we're affecting the planet and our relationship with the planet that is begging us now to face the crisis of, well, extinction. And Amethyst, I got to stop here and I've got to ask you, what's your opinion on this? I mean, what is your overview?
My overview?
Climate change, the crisis of pollution and despoiling the planet and everything. What's your overview, huh?
I'm sure that modern man's done a lot to contribute to the deterioration of the world and the earth and its atmosphere and all that. But if you really look back at centuries of history, it seems like the earth has a natural revolution, like through an ice age and through different elements of atmospheric changes that must happen naturally. You know, the earth has its own rhythm, just like a woman's body has its own rhythm. But I think that man has tampered with it, and we have probably accelerated it, maybe, or just manifested different things in our atmosphere, and we've polluted it with poisons. So just like any living organism, it's affected in a negative manner.
Okay. Bringing to bear the conversation, and I don't know how much you would like to talk about it, but you're an author and you're about to publish a wonderful book on the goddess. And perhaps we could talk a little bit about how becoming more aligned with goddess energy, with the goddess, is helpful in healing the earth and healing society too.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. The goddess is so connected with the earth and the natural elements and keeping things clean and at peace with each other. All of the earth things, the flora and the fauna and the people that live in it, and finding ways to live together that integrate us into the earth and something that won't set us apart from it. And the book that I've written actually is more geared to women and finding healing within themselves, reconnecting them with matriarchal divinity. It seems that after centuries and centuries of the Eve and Apple myth, it has deteriorated womanhood to a pitiful point. It's deteriorated womanhood to the point that it's affected women's relationships with other women. We don't trust each other. We're catty with each other. We're sometimes not sincere with each other. And it has a negative effect all around, even on our relationships with each other. And a woman has to learn to be proud of herself, to connect with the strength and the inner flow of the goddess. And the goddess, of course, is connected to the earth. So the back to the nature and back to natural living, it all kind of rolls into one ball that just keeps going.
Well, the natural cycles, and I agree with your assessment that the earth is going through one of its seasons right now naturally, although we are exploiting it, you might say, from a profiteering point of view. The all the planets in our solar system are going through some changes right now. It is a phenomenon that is solar-wide, you know? So it is a natural cycle. That we're a season we're going through right now, especially when you consider we're at the epoch of a new age. We're shuddering into Aquarius. We're actually in that energy, and anchoring it is sort of a shaky ride. It's a shakedown cruise, if you will. But my question would be, what I was wondering was, can you tell us what goddesses come to mind when you think of aligning with nature specifically? Being elemental expressions of the earth and the conscious resonance of the planet.
I come to mind first with the harvest goddesses like Demeter and Ceres and God, I guess it's because it's this time of year, and that's kind of what connects me is with the harvest in autumn and the vegetation dying out and getting ready for winter. And when I think of the goddesses in aspect to that, I am amazed that there are people who practice with certain pantheons and they work with goddesses and their spirituality in that line, but I would like people to, and women especially, to understand that it's okay to cross the pantheon borders. And there's so many goddesses out there from so many varied and beautiful cultures. And it's okay to crisscross and use this energy. If you stop and think about it, I can see why ancient man is within his pantheon, her pantheon, whatever. Mm-hmm. Because it was a tiny microcosm of a community, and they were isolated in the ancient world, so they knew what they grew up with and what they were taught with. In the modern world, the globe is so small, and we're all interconnected, so we're educated to all the beautiful spiritual possibilities in all cultures, and I think it's to our advantage to snatch that energy up and use it when we're in need of it.
Oh, your point. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, that's okay.
Well, your point's well taken. I think we're watching the emergence of a global culture where all of our ancestors are embraced in a consciousness that is evolving on a planetary level right now.
Absolutely. And You know, women in our own country, in our Western civilization, we've made great strides, you know, over the last century or so. But you can't really say that on a global level for women all over the world yet. And I think that's something that we need to concentrate on, is elevating womanhood through all cultures, through matriarchal divinity and its connections, its spirituality and its flow. The world is dominated by men, and I'm not a man hater. I adore men. I've married five of them, it's not that. It's just that womanhood has been so downtrodden and crushed, and I have the tendency to blame the myth of Genesis and the Bible for just blaming womanhood for the entire fall of humanity, and it was ridiculous. I actually can't believe that modern man promoted that to begin with, and I can't believe that it was so readily accepted.
Hierarchy is always going to be amongst humanity, but it's patriarchy that's been the last 7,000 to 8,000 years. Patriarchy has held the sway of the day. And everything you're describing is festooned or anchored in patriarchy. You even see it with modern women who have embraced the patriarchy to the point, you know, for the power structure that they work in and use. There are plenty of women leaders out there right now that you can look at that are warmongers, who are profiteers on corporate levels, that claim to be leaders who have nothing to do with the feminine aspect of leadership. They have everything to do with power and greed, which is basically what patriarchy has gone asunder with, has gotten out of kilter, out of balance with. But there are also a lot of really wonderful women who are coming to the forefront too, who represent the goddess well these days. I would bring the maiden up real quick with Mala. Do you know who I'm talking about? She's not Pakistan, but Afghani. The young lady who was shot in the face and who survived Taliban.
She won the Nobel Peace Prize. Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah, Malala.
And we were discussing last week how this is the age of the daughter or the maiden. She represents that very well. A little known aspect to her interview with her visit with President Obama was the fact that she said, your drones are creating more terrorists than they're putting down. And she spoke very plainly, but it was never mentioned. It takes a lot of courage for a young woman like that to sit with leadership and be shushed, and yet to stay with her intentions and goals and basically tell her truth like that. I think that was pretty wonderful. And that's representing the goddess well, I think.
It is. She's amazing. And you kind of said it all when you mentioned being out of balance. And the maiden now is going to be the generation. But as a matter of fact, you know, when you speak of the 1970s and 80s, it was kind of like thought of as a goddess revolution. But it's kind of like going full circle. It's like a new renaissance with the goddess now, because there are new women, young women coming of age now and stepping in, like Malala. And also, you know, when you talk about reclaiming matriarchal divinity, I don't want to equate that with being soft or being easy or being lax. It's okay for women to be strong. I know a lot of people are sometimes intimidated by strong women. If a man is strong, he's admired. If a woman is strong, she's bitchy. But it's okay for women to find their strength. It's okay for them to assert themselves. it's okay for women to connect with the warrior that is within each of us. And there is a warrior in every woman. It's a matter of instinctual survival. It's something primitive and genetic, and it's something revolutionary and new, that we can stand up for ourselves, and it's okay. It's okay to be who we are.
But what goddess would you put paramount in that goal right there for young women today? What goddess would you use? What goddess is that?
I was thinking of Artemis and the bow and the arrow, the huntress. But oh my gosh, like Pele, the Hawaiian goddess Pele. I mean, it is okay to get up on your hind legs and howl. It's okay, the fire, the passion, the emotion. As when you're talking about a cause that you really believe in, as I'm listening to you, I can feel your passion and I can feel the fire within you and the determination for you to get these thoughts and these opinions across and have them understood. And to me, it brought to mind the goddess Pele and the forcefulness, that it's okay to take a hold of the world by the scruff of the neck and shake it when it has to be taught something, when something needs to be pointed out, when something needs to be changed. And so that was kind of what I was thinking as you were speaking. It was the first thing that came to my mind.
I hear you. I'm one of the things that I'm extraordinarily, I'm always walking is what we call the MLK walk. You know, it's through peace and perseverance and community, mostly community, that we're going to make changes in this world, in this society right now. it only takes 1%, you know?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Our society is, just from my own experience, I live in a very small Midwestern community. And because I am different, I stand out here. I stand out by appearance and tattoos. I stand out by symbols and elements. I stand out by just notoriety, I guess. And I don't know how I got there, because I'm a very private, introverted person, actually. But society can't seem to grasp something that's different. I don't know if it's the area of the country that I'm living in, and it's like no one wants to think outside the box. The people here don't even want to look outside the box. So they're very easily scared by things they don't understand. So it's actually very difficult for me living in this area. And so as you're talking about making a difference in society, we've got to start, like, right in our own backyard. I mean the world and the global issues and problems, they're huge and they're there and they need to be dealt with. But some of us are going to have to just start slow and just within our own community, in our own backyard, try to make changes.
Yeah, it's right now. I think the huge thing is community, but we have it socially. We have to step outside our doors too, and go out into our own community, which is not always so easy. Are you in a rural area or an urban area?
No, I'm about 35 miles west of Omaha, so I'm like a stone's throw away from the city. But the community, Fremont, that I live in, is it's a mostly Catholic population. The population is predominantly older, retired. There's a lot of familial ties here that go back generations. So I've lived in this community for probably 26 years, and I'm still an outsider.
That is difficult. That is difficult. I've lived in many places in my life. I lived in the mountains of North Carolina. While I always knew that I would never be considered a native, I finally grew acceptance living in the community, made friends, worked on a paper, all that kind of stuff. But there are still those people that do not accept me because of the way I think or believe or my lifestyle or whatever, you know. It can be very, very difficult to live in such a small lens. It's like a petri dish.
It tends to be very isolating. So even though you're surrounded by people, you feel isolated. And there's so many women here that I would love to connect with goddess spirituality. And I'm amazed at how strange the concept is to them. I had a lady here a few years ago who was a Jehovah's Witness at my door. So I try to talk to her about this aspect of a very wide spiritual world with a variety of beliefs and paths and practices. And she was so horrified, and she was also so insulted. And she got rude to me and you know, doing her thing and speaking her lingo the way they're taught. And so I looked at her and I said, I don't know how, as a woman, you can embrace a patriarchal path that is demeaning you. And these women, because I homeschool, so I used to stay in touch with a Christian homeschool group here in town when we first began, because you have to learn the legalities of it.
Yeah.
And these women are all like deer caught in the headlights. It's like the man is the boss and they have nothing to say, and they're swallowed up into this whole patriarchal thing, and woman is responsible, blah, blah, blah. And their final comment to it all is, I'm this and this and this, but I'm no doormat. But actually they are, but they don't realize they are, and they don't realize all the other possibilities out there to them. And they just don't realize the beauty of their own femininity and the sacredness of it. And they don't have that connection with nature then too. It's like so many connections are broke. It starts with a spiritual connection, which is broken for them, but it goes on like to a physical connection, a mental connection. You know, it's like a domino effect.
I hope it's okay to ask. What goddess do you use? Do you incorporate to open the way to larger community around you?
One of my favorite goddesses is Bridget. I was raised in a semi-Catholic family. My grandmother was Catholic, and she would, like, for a year we would go to church, and she'd be all gung-ho and into it. And then for the next year, she was just off on astrology or something. So it was an off-and-on thing. But for 2 years, I went to a Catholic parochial school. And we were taught about greed. As a matter of fact, I noticed that the nuns were just, they were intrigued and charmed by her too. And I actually, looking back, think that it is a natural ingrained instinct to grasp at the matriarchal divinity, and that's what they were doing. So Saint Bridget, who actually was the goddess greed, is my favorite to deal with, and her feast day is her holiday is Gimbolc, her pagan holiday, February 2nd. It's kind of a reawakening of the world, and that was kind of relevant to me. It was like a reawakening of something that had been dormant for so long. Like the Virgin Mary, she's my favorite part of Catholicism. Everyone else kind of took a back seat, and I was always amazed at the nuns that they spent a great deal of time reaffirming the Father is divine, the Son is divine, Mary is not. And so one day, isn't that something? One day I was in my grandmother's house, and there was this cable television show on. I don't even remember what it was, but they were talking about ancient societies. And I'm doing what I'm doing, and then I hear this voice say, in the ancient world, it wasn't the god who was worshipped, it was the goddess. And I felt like I was hit by a thunderbolt. It was like, aha, all this time, that's what was in me that I was trying to find or trying to explain or trying to define, you know, or to rediscover. And there it was. It was like a new door to a new world opening for me.
And how has this made, what is the positive aspect of, how has this opened you up to a community as who you are with the goddess in your heart?
personally, I am at peace with my spirituality. I'm at peace with the life cycles of birth, death, rebirth. I'm at peace within myself within those things. But as to the community, it actually separates you from the community because our communities are predominantly patriarchal, predominantly Christian. And, you know, there's nothing wrong with people who want to practice. I want to say practice your own life, your own religion, your own spirituality. No one can tell someone else or force someone else to believe anything. A spiritual path is an extremely personal choice in life. And everyone deserves the right to practice what brings them peace as long as they're not harming anyone else. And so I don't have anything against people who practice Christianity. I just wish that they could open the door a crack and not be so afraid or so judgmental of the other side, what's on the other side of that door.
Mm-hmm. I know you have a really wonderful small community around you of women over in Omaha. That's where Magical Omaha is, the next millennium. And don't they have several groups over there with Cindy and...
Cindy and Charlie, they do a lot for the pagan community in Omaha. I really don't know what would happen if anything happened to them. They're a rock and a foundation. And I know they've been very supportive of me in some of my own personal endeavors and in the writing and all that kind of thing. So and it's wonderful to have a spot where I'm living in this tiny community that is so negative to everything that I believe or practice or live. And it's so nice to be so close where we actually can run in there and reconnect with people whenever we want to. And it's very refreshing. And you speak of energy as an actual thing, and it's true. Because the minute you walk in the door, it's like a weight lifts off your shoulders. The energy inside the shop is so heartening and positive and nurturing. So it's a definite plus to live close to people like that. And like I said, I'm a very introverted person. I don't know how I started writing. I don't know how I started doing tarot readings. I don't know how I've done the things I'm doing because I was always extraordinarily shy, extraordinarily introverted. I was that quiet kid in school that they would watch now suspiciously. You know, because I just was. That was my personality. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know how or why I got to do what I'm doing now. It's almost like you don't have control of your own life. There's something bigger than you kind of sweeping you up and grabbing you by the hand and dragging you along down this road, kicking and screaming sometimes, but off you go anyway, in this direction you never expected to go.
For younger women or any women who are interested in learning more about the goddess, which is what you're doing, is teaching about the goddess and writing and publishing on the goddess, what would you advise them in turning to the goddess, how to go about that when they're in a isolated place where they don't find support but have to rely on their own spiritual strength to carry them across the bridge into a larger community somewhere. How would you advise them?
Well, in the modern world, we're a little bit lucky because we have the internet. So you can search and you can read. But in spite of that, the thing that connects most with me and how I learned, because I lived and grew up in a world with no computers and no internet, it was books. I was a voracious reader, and there's a huge array of books out there. And like you learn anything on any topic, you read and read and read and study. There's no other way for you to learn anything, you know, no matter what the topic is. It's going to take an effort on the part of a young woman who wants to learn. It's not like she's going to be touched with the magic wand and in 5 seconds, she's going to know everything there is to know. As a matter of fact, I feel like I know nothing. I feel it's like a lifelong process, and sometimes I feel like it will even extend to more than one lifetime. It's a continuous, continuous learning process. There is so much to learn. I just watched a DVD that I have. It was done in the, I believe, late 70s, early 80s, and it is filled with the women of the time for that revolution into the goddess. And let me see, it was Carol P. Christ. It was the Shekinah Mountain Water. It was, oh my gosh, just an array of them. There were extraordinarily well-known ones of that period, but then there were other women. There were authors and filmmakers and producers and artists. And it's like I'm just glued listening to them. I mean, we can go back. You can go back and learn from these women who were actually very brave, I think, to step out and say, you know, to the world, there is a goddess, and she's there, and her energy is ours, and she's empowering, and she's healing, and there's not just a god, there is a goddess. And so I'm fascinated by these women.
Do you include like Margot Adler and Star Hawk and
Star Hawk was in the DVD. Mm-hmm.
Susanna Budapest, a lot of women within the goddess community came forth. Star Hawk, now Miriam, primarily goes about teaching large workshops on permaculture, which is absolutely fabulous. She, in fact, the end of last year, presented it at Harvard. And it was a crossover, ecology, theology, you know?
She's amazing. She's like evolved. Her evolvement over the years is incredible. She's encompassed so much. She started life with that first step out into the goddess culture, and she just like expanded and grown from there. And another one I love is Zee Budapest. You know, I'm a tarot reader, and she's kind of like broke the mold, and she took the first hit for all of us to make that legal, because it was considered illegal, and I do believe she was arrested for that. I spent an hour on the phone with her one day, and she is an incredible woman. She is so full of energy, and her thoughts, your mind, you have to stay kind of in tune, because her mind can just speak from one topic to another.
Yeah, she is very full of energy. She's been on the show with and she did cross a lot of barriers. And she did especially among the Dianic Dianic covens. She has been very influential. You advise folks to reach into the stacks and pull down the books and educate. I think that's great advice. Educate themselves with well-known authors, but whatever fascinates them, whatever fascination that they might have.
Absolutely. There are classics that are never going to be outdated. I mean, there are books that women 100 years from now are going to be reading and learning about. And I'm so hoping that my book will be one of those books where the information and the thoughts are timeless. And so I'm hoping that this is what I tried to accomplish, and we'll see. And but I'm thinking of all those other women, all these other, you know, and then you can even go farther back, even without the spiritual aspect. Think of the suffragettes in the early 1900s. Can you imagine not being allowed to vote? so we couldn't vote. So those are brave women, too, and another on a more material, mundane level coming forward and, you know, and saying, this isn't right. Let's change this. So,
I
kind of plays along a spiritual path, too.
Well, I got to tell you, I think that quite a few of those women were anchored in a spiritual message, too. I don't think you can break away. I'm a lot like Miriam, a lot like Starhawk. I'm activist witch is the best description. But I'm taking it out into the community and working on the holistic community while engendering my own spiritual quality. Does that make sense?
Oh, that makes absolute sense, absolute sense. And the activist part of it, I would like women to know that even if they're not, like, you know, you're brave, you're very brave to be an activist and get out there and do. Like I said, I'm such an introverted person that I would love to do that, but mostly I do it through the internet and through my blogs and my website and the books and the writing. But I would love to be able to just get out there like you do, and you just, you know, you're going to make a difference, and you're determined to make a difference, and you've got the goddess on your side. You can just feel
there's it. So many ways to be an activist, especially with social media these days. You know, I mean, just being on air and putting the message out. Also, the blogging that you do and the writing you do, that's an activism also. I wouldn't disclaim, or I wouldn't not recognize the activism in people reaching out and telling their truth at all, because it's a time for it, especially when it's anchored in goddess energy, because right now we need it so bad on the planet.
Oh, absolutely. I had never thought of activism in that light before, so I'm glad you said that I was sitting here. It kind of gives me a new perspective on quite a few things, actually. The world, and the one thing, like Z Budapest, I really feel a connection and an admiration from her because she lifted the goddess up, too. And I think, don't you think, she realized, too, the world was in need of a change. Women and we're at a turning point. We just were. What was going to become of us spiritually or on the earth? And I love the idea of her Dianic Wicca, that it's okay to put the goddess out there at the top. It's not that we deny the god. I appreciate him as the goddess's consort. That's kind of in my own spiritual practice, how I view him. But my concentration is on the feminine divine, and the world is so sorely in need of that. I think it would be... there's such a different atmosphere, even in our own country, if more and more and more women were connected with this. And you know, it's not like they have to give up their entire way of life or anything. You don't jump into this and discover this usually. Maybe there are people who have, like, in one big head on the, you know, hit in the head moment. But you can come into this gradually, too, in a painless way. And it's also natural. So many women that I've met who have reawakened themselves to the goddess, they will use the same phrase. They will tell me, it feels like coming home.
Yeah, I can understand that. Well, let me ask you here. I noticed that with the information you give in your book, you do a lot of corresponding. You correspond the properties or quality characteristics of a goddess, and you also provide tools, suggestions of tools and herbs and oils. I'd love it if you would expound on that a bit, so folks will know what you're some of the content of what you're writing about.
Okay, absolutely. My own spiritual practice is a combination of Dianic Wicca, hoodoo, and green witchcraft. So in this book, all of the goddesses do correspond to oils, to the elements, two herbs, two symbolism. And so each goddess kind of has her own little specialty, her own energy, those areas of our life that she will help us to correct or enhance or heal. And so I include that for every goddess so that any woman reading it can choose the goddess she feels the affinity with, the goddess that can help her for the situation she needs corrected in her life. So I hesitate to use the word witchcraft and magic, and I've tried to kind of steer away from that with this book because it tends to scare people. They have some sort of preconceived notion in their head. And so I try to explain in the section of the book that gives a lot of correspondences for you to craft spells, and I try to relate that to the fact that this is just a movement of energy. This isn't evil, and you don't have to call it magic or witchcraft. It's just a worshiping the goddess and being able, through certain rituals and tools, to move her energy in a way that will positively affect your life.
Okay. Now, what would be a good example? Say I'm wanting you to pick the goddess and give a good example of how someone can work with your book and the information that you give on the goddess and how to make an alignment, a connection, a small ritual, if you will, a meditation to that goddess using the tools that you suggest.
Mm-hmm. Actually, there's more information at the end of the book on candle magic, where you will oil or anoint a candle and with particular herbs connected to a goddess. That's one of the easiest magics that there are, is just candle magic. There's energy in the flame. There's energy in the herbs. There's energy in the candle itself as you hold it in your hand and you empower it with your thoughts. You empower it with what you seek to receive from this ritual. And so I would say that candle magic would probably be the easiest aspect. And there are also, for each of the goddesses, there's an explanation to how or why you would want to connect with this one or that one, what energies she expresses, what areas in your life that she can help you with. And so I try to do that as I'm going through the goddesses, though. So it's not just like some cold encyclopedia. Here's the name of the goddess. Here's the culture she's connected to. Here's what she's known for. And then, you know, you're on your own. There's so much more to the energies and how you use them. And I wish that people, I get lots of letters from people, how do I do this or that? And what if I do it wrong? I know a lot of people who practice witchcraft. They claim you have to be extraordinarily explicit about what you want. You don't want anything to go wrong, blah, blah, blah. I think the higher powers and the goddess are more intelligent than that. I think that they can look inside our spirit and our soul, and they can see what we need. They can see our intentions. They can see our desires. So I don't want women to be afraid to light a candle to their goddess, to find the herbs or the oils that's associated to her. Carve her symbol, carve her name on the candle, and just be at peace with it. Don't worry so much about whether they're doing it right or whether they're doing it wrong. And just connect with the spirit and just let it move them.
Okay. That's good. I've noticed that you give, I'm going through your book as we're talking, and you have some really wonderful, that I've come across the White Buffalo Calf Woman.
Mm-hmm. You can read it if you want to. Out loud.
Well, nurturing, she embraces the nurturing side of our nature. She's what prods us to excel and succeed in the rough arena of the world. She's who we invoke in rituals and ceremonies to honor the mother in us all, the caretaker. Her energy is present in every woman holding a baby at her breast, raising a child, caring for animals of the earth, sharing your life with a man. This goddess is what compels us to place another person's well-being before our own. I would add, too, she renews our spiritual enthusiasm.
Oh, absolutely. How cool.
Whenever I have personally been, you know, in a place of, oh, you're kidding me, or in a place of stuckness, White Buffalo Woman is the one who reinvigorates and renews my enthusiasm. You bring up the topic of women surviving the modern world, and you give them a place to start. You give them ritual information. You give them the whys and wherefores. It really is. I really like the information that you're giving here. It's so much more because people can open it up and see very simply what they can do to align with the goddess that, especially the White Buffalo Calf Woman here, in ways that are just, this is very surprising, you know. Number one, you start the day with a small ritual, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You can light a candle, anoint yourself with an oil, a 5-minute meditation, or write down a thought in your journal. And then you go on. When you become frustrated with the circumstances you're dealing with, put everything on hold for an hour and have a Starbucks. Take a break, and you go through all the different steps people can take to stay in alignment with the goddess energy, and I think it's really pretty wonderful. One thing captures my eye here is down lower on the steps to take. Instead of don't go looking in the refrigerator, clean it out, or call somebody who is lonely. That's an uncommon thing to see. And it's so goddess energy, but it's a very uncommon way to put it. Most books give you instructions on very good ones on how to cultivate the goddess within. And to, you know, come to around this corner, you will find around that corner, you will find. But these are wonderful. I mean, call someone who's lonely. The unexpected connection will jumpstart a chain reaction in a positive way. That's wonderful stuff, Amethyst. It really puts people in touch with understanding what goddess energy truly is. And from my point of view, one of the things that we can do, you know, your whole life, the best thing you do is be kind. And kindness is so missing these days. And calling somebody who's lonely, that takes a great deal of kindness. And oftentimes, it takes a great deal of courage, too, because sometimes you get somebody on the phone and you just know that they're lonely and you're just there to listen. That takes a lot of energy, and it's good energy.
It is good energy.
It's not always draining. You know, that's not the person who's a vampire. That's someone who's lonely. Usually it is someone who's lost someone recently or the elderly, right?
Oh, right. Absolutely. Yes. I just want women of the world in our community.
Mm-hmm.
To be able to make the connection.
Yes. To each other, too. Right. So, can you tell us the name of the book?
Yes, I can. The name of the book is The Spiritual Feminist. And,
wonderful.
And I'm so hoping it will connect with women across the board from all age levels. And I just want women to know that we are all connected, whether we want to be or not. If you think you can pull away, if you think you can turn on a sister, you can't. It will affect us all. It's like a giant spider web across the world. And anything one woman does to another in a negative way will touch us all.
Yeah. I think you're right. It does. We see it every day happening, especially within little girls who are growing up and seeing how we treat one another.
Absolutely. We have to respect each other. We also have to give each other space to be different. Not everyone is going to be like you are. You know, every individual is unique, and we have to learn to celebrate the uniqueness, not to fall.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I was just agreeing with you.
It's amazing the community that we can be, and once in a while we get a little glimpse of that. Like sometimes when Z Budapest has taped some of her women's gatherings, and you can feel the energy between the women. You can feel this magical connection. Or Isadora Duncan and the Red Tent Society, she has marvelous film clips of women connecting with each other. And it's kind of a healing, nurturing thing, because we have centuries and centuries and centuries of fixing to do. Our connections have been broken. They've been deteriorated. Just by so many things, our modern civilization and just ancient patriarchy, everything all rolled into a ball. We have to heal our feminine selves, and hopefully this book will help women to do that, to find their inner strength, to heal themselves, to make these connections with other women.
I agree. Tell the folks, how will they be able to find your book to purchase it?
This book will be published by John Hunt Publishing, probably under the Moon Book imprint, and they are sold worldwide. You'll be able to go to John Hunt's website on the Internet. You can also walk into any bookstore wherever you are, and if the book is not on the shelf, the bookstore will order it for you. That's what they do. So, you know, wherever you are in the world, you will be able to get this book.
It will, as well as being on Amazon and all of those other facilities. Mm-hmm. Some folks don't have such big bookstores in the area they live in, or even little bookstores. But little booksellers will order a book for you. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
They're very happy to do it. And the little booksellers are the most important kind.
Absolutely. And Next Millennium carries my books in Omaha. You can order online, too, magicalomaha.com.
There you go.
Yeah.
You also put in a chapter on not magic?
Yes. Yes. Was it for the childbirth goddess? It was to celebrate childbirth. Yes, in ancient times, but let's talk about let's put it in modern times right away. At the baby shower, you can do ritualistic, not magic, with each other, with beautiful cords or ribbons and whatever colors you want, pink or blue if you want baby colors. And as the woman goes into labor, this group of women should gather again and ritualistically undo the knot as they're opening the way for this child to be born, so that it shall be born safely and without complications, and it shall be blessed.
Wonderful. That's wonderful. I had not come across that before. That's wonderful information. No, about childbirth. It escaped me. I noticed that you have the Morrigan in here too.
Somewhat, pardon me.
I noticed that you included the Morrigan.
Oh, absolutely. Her dark energy is wonderful. And like the warrior goddess that she is, I believe, and I have a lovely 57-year-old memory, I believe in that section of the book about the Morrigan, she is mostly connected in my mind to the warrior who helped fallen soldiers on the battlefield.
Yeah.
Yes, and she was one of the last sections that I finished up for this book, and I do believe that it was just after one of those horrible executions in the Mideast. So I kind of said a little prayer or invocation to the Morrigan, and I hope that it was she who took this fallen hero by the hand and helped him to cross over to the Summerland. And I believe that's what that section entails. I want to also say that there's goddesses in this list, both with light energy and with dark energy. And sometimes it's okay to step in the shadows. We're so taught that anything dark is evil or bad, but that's not the case. No, the energy is just different, and it's used for different purposes, or it's used in different ways. So don't be afraid to go there. You know, you learn things, too, on the dark sides or in the shade that you don't see in the brilliant sunshine because it's too blinding. So don't be afraid to search inside yourself either in all those shady little corners and little cubbies in your mind. You'll find wonderful things there, actually. It's nothing to be afraid of.
Well, it's a shamanic path, isn't it? Facing the darkness within to transmute it into our healing qualities, our healing gifts.
Yes, it is.
We are at the top of the hour, and I really want to thank you for coming on and sharing with us. I hope you'll do it again. And what information would you like to give to people before we sign off? Where can they find your blog, and how can they find you online?
Okay, I'm on Facebook as facebook.com/amethystrain, all lowercase. My blog is witchymystique.com, WYTCHYMYSTIQUE. You'll find it. You'll probably, if you connect with me on Facebook, you'll find connections for everything else on my Facebook page and my website, ladyamethyst.com.
Okay, wonderful. And the name of the book is Spiritual Feminist, The Spiritual Feminist. And do you have a publishing date?
No, I don't have the publishing date yet. We're just starting. Production's just starting.
Okay.
So as soon as I have this information, I'll post it on my blogs and my Facebook.
Wonderful. Amethyst, thank you so much for coming on and sharing with us and giving us all this wonderful information about the goddess and how to align with her.
Oh, well, thank you for having me, Gwen, and it was my pleasure, really.
Okay. And next week we will be back, and we will continue our conversation on ecofeminism with Nicole Tomasini. And I'd like to remind everybody that you can find Nicole on Monday evenings at 7 p.m. here with Spirit Therapy with Nicole. And tomorrow, please tune in, those who care to, for our political talk show, The Sunday Show with Jeff Jodell, F. Wayne Johnson, and myself at 6 p.m. And I want to thank you. Thank you again, Amethyst. And please come back and see us, be with us after the book comes out.
I'd be delighted to.
Okay. That's our show. Thank you for listening in.